Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. All right, good morning and welcome to the Wednesday morning, September 14th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. Excuse me, I'm Wayne Floyd, your host, sitting out here in the arid Arizona desert, though this is our monsoon season, our rain season. Excuse me. And we are here this morning to get together and read through some Puritan prayers, Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional, the morning devotional for today. And then chapters out of Robert Murray McShane's Read the Bible in a Year reading plan that he created for his congregation back in 1842. And I got to tell you, it's a relatively nice morning. Actually, every morning we wake, it was a great morning, but my coffee arrived 2 days ago that I mentioned before. It finally showed up, and I love my Black Rifle Just Decaf coffee. It's kind of like running into an old friend after 20 years of not seeing them, though it hasn't really been that long, but it's nice to have it. So I've got my coffee with me this morning. So I'm very, very happy, though I was very, very grateful that I now have an interim so I can wait between shipments and still have some coffee, though the tea has been nice. My wife has had me using a tea that I have knee issues. I'm at a point I actually both knees are bone on bone. Actually, they're to the point where the cartilage on the bone that coats the bone has been wearing through, and I'm really, truly bone on bone in both knees. So my wife has had me using, she just got this tea, and it's actually pretty good. And it's got turmeric in it. And I mean, and I try to take turmeric anyways, but I'm hoping this will help. And so I've been very grateful for the teas, but I still miss my coffee. So I'm very grateful it's back. So again, great morning. Well, like I said, always a great morning, but let's go ahead and let's get started this morning. So as we've done all mornings, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start with three prayers from Valley of Vision. The first two are going to be Resting on God and Grace and Trials. So we'll start with Resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. And I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. So the links to all these things I'm reading this morning will be in the show notes, as well as links to where you can get hard copies of Valley of Vision, Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and the Legacy Standard Bible. And I would definitely recommend getting hard copies of them. It's definitely encouraged. And now, back to our prayers. The next one, as I said, was Grace in Trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful, even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. And fourth day morning, Wednesday being the fourth day of the week, fourth day morning, it's called True Christianity. Lord of heaven, thy goodness is inexpressible and inconceivable. In the works of creation, thou art almighty. In the dispensations of providence, all wise. In the gospel of grace, all love. And in thy Son, thou hast provided for our deliverance from the effects of sin, the justification of our persons, the sanctification of our natures, the perseverance of our souls in the path of life. Though exposed to the terrors of thy law, we have a refuge from the storm. Though compelled to cry unclean, we have a fountain for sin. Though creature cells of emptiness, we have a fullness accessible to all and incapable of reduction. Grant us always to know that to walk with Jesus makes other interests a shadow and a dream. Keep us from intermittent attention to eternal things. Save us from the delusion of those who fail to go far in religion, who are concerned but not converted, who have another heart but not a new one, who have light, zeal, confidence, but not Christ. Let us judge our Christianity not only by our dependence upon Jesus, but by our love to him, our conformity to him, our knowledge of him. Give us a religion that is both real and progressive, that holds on its way and grows stronger, that lives and works in the Spirit, that profits by every correction, and is injured by no carnal indulgence. Amen. Definitely a prayer for today with the number of professing Christians out there that really seem to have a Christianity that is not real. They don't have Christ. They don't conform to him. They don't have a knowledge of him. And they don't have a love for him. They have a love for self. Definitely a good prayer. And Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, this is the September 14th morning edition of Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and the scripture for today is Mark 4:36 that this is based around. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Jesus was the Lord High Admiral of the sea that night, and his presence preserved the whole convoy. It is well to sail with Jesus, even though it be in a little ship. When we sail in Christ's company, we may not make sure of fair weather, for great storms may toss the vessel which carries the Lord himself, and we must not expect to find the sea less boisterous around our little boat. If we go with Jesus, we must be content to fare as he fares, and when the waves are rough to him, they will be rough to us. It is by tempest and tossing that we shall come to land, as he did before us. When the storm swept over Galilee's dark lake, all faces gathered blackness, and all hearts dreaded shipwreck. When all creature help was useless, The slumbering savior arose, and with a word transformed the riot of the tempest into the deep quiet of a calm. Then were the little vessels at rest, as well as that which carried the Lord. Jesus is the star of the sea, and though there be sorrow upon the sea, when Jesus is on it, there is joy too. May our hearts make Jesus their anchor, their rudder, their lighthouse, their lifeboat, and their harbor. His church is the admiral's flagship. Let us attend her movements and cheer her officers with our presence. He himself is the great attraction. Let us follow ever in his wake, mark his signals, steer by his chart, and never fear while he is within hail. Not one ship in the convoy shall suffer wreck. The great commodore will steer every bark in safety to the desired haven. By faith, we will slip our cable for another day's cruise and sail forth with Jesus into a sea of tribulation. Winds and waves will not spare us, but they all obey him, and therefore whatever squalls may occur without, faith shall feel a blessed calm within. He is ever in the center of the weather-beaten company. Let us rejoice in him. His vessel has reached the haven, and so shall ours. How great that, what a great confidence that should bring to us, that if we are in Christ, and he is our commodore, as we are called to be, he is called to be our Lord and Savior. Sorry, needed a little coffee there. Then as Spurgeon said here, his vessel has reached the haven, and so shall ours. All right, on to our Bible reading this morning. Our chapters are 2 Samuel 10, 2 Corinthians 3, Ezekiel 17, Psalm 60, and Psalm 61. All right, 2 Samuel 10. Now it happened afterwards that the king of the sons of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, became king in his place. So David said, I will show loving kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, just as his father showed loving kindness to me. So David sent to comfort him concerning his father by the hand of his servants. And David's servants came to the land of the sons of Ammon. But the princes of the sons of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, in your eyes, is David honoring your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not sent his servants to you in order to search the city, to spy it out and overthrow it? So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. Then they told it to David, and he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly dishonored. And the king said, stay at Jericho until your beards grow, and then return. Then the sons of Ammon saw that they had become odious to David. So the sons of Ammon sent and hired the Arameans of Beth Rehob and the Arameans of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and the king of Maacah with 1,000 men, and the men of Tob with 12,000 men. Then David heard of it and sent Joab and all the army, the mighty men. And the sons of Ammon came out and arranged themselves for battle at the entrance of the gate of the city. But the Arameans of Zobah and of Rehob and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. Then Joab saw that the battle was set against him from the front and from the rear. So he chose from all the choice men of Israel, and they arranged themselves to meet the Arameans. But the remainder of the people he put in the hand of Abishai, his brother, and he arranged them to meet the sons of Ammon. And he said, if the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall save me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come to save you. Be strong and let us show strength for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may Yahweh do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. Now the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans fled, so they also fled before Abishai and came into the city. Then Joab returned from fighting against the sons of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. Then the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, so they gathered themselves together and had Hadadezer sent and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the river, and they came to Helam. And Shobak, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, led them. And it was told to David, so he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan and came to Helam. And the Arameans arranged themselves to meet David and fought against him. But the Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed of the Arameans 700 charioteers and 40,000 horsemen, and struck down Shobak, the commander of their army, and he died there. Then all the kings, the servants of Hadadezer, saw that they were defeated by Israel. So they made peace with Israel and served them. And the Arameans were afraid to save the sons of Ammon anymore. 2 Corinthians 13. Here, have a little sip of coffee here. All right, 2 Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, having been written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, ministered to by us, having been written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of hearts of flesh. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, in letters having been engraved on stones, came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, which was being brought to an end, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be even more in glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed what has been glorious in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which was being brought to an end was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the consequence of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is brought to an end in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. All right, in Ezekiel 17. Now the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel, and you will say, Thus says Lord Yahweh, A great eagle with great wings, long pinions, and a full plumage of many colors came to Lebanon and took away the top of the cedar. He plucked off the topmost of its young twigs and brought it to a land of merchants. He set it in a city of traders. He also took some of the seed of the land and planted it in a field fit for seed. He placed it beside abundant waters. He set it like a willow. Then it sprouted and became a low-spreading vine with its foliage turned toward him, but its roots remained under it. So it became a vine and yielded shoots and sent out branches. But there was another great eagle with great wings and much plumage, and behold, this vine bent its roots towards him and sent out its foliage towards him from the beds where it was planted that he might water it. It was planted in a good field beside abundant waters that it might yield branches and bear fruit and become a majestic vine. Say, thus says Lord Yahweh, will it succeed? Will he not pull up its roots and cut off its fruit so that it dries up? So that all its sprouting leaves dry up, and neither by great strength nor by many people can it be raised from its roots again. And behold, though it is planted, will it succeed? Will it not completely dry up as soon as the east wind strikes it, dry up on the beds where it sprouted? Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Do you not know what these things mean? Say, Behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem, took its king and princes, and brought them to him in Babylon. He took one of the royal seed and cut a covenant with him and brought him under oath. He also took away the dominant one of the land, that the kingdom might become lowly, not lifting itself up, but keeping his covenant that it might continue. But he rebelled against him by sending his messengers to Egypt, that they might give him horses and many troops. Will he succeed? Will he who does such things escape? Can he indeed break the covenant and escape? As I live, declares Lord Yahweh, surely in the country of the king who made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he broke, in Babylon he shall die. And Pharaoh, with his mighty military force and great assembly, will not help in the war, when they cast up ramps and build siege walls to cut off many lives. Now he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, and behold, he pledged his allegiance, yet did all these things. He shall not escape. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, as I live, surely my oath which he despised, and my covenant which he broke, I will put on his head. I will spread my net over him, and he will be caught in my snare. Then I will bring him to Babylon, and enter into judgment with him there regarding the unfaithful act which he has committed against me. All the choice men and all his troops will fall by the sword, and the remnant will be scattered to every wind. Just a minute. All right, picking back up in verse 21. And the remnant will be scattered to every wind, and you will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken. Thus says Lord Yahweh, I will also take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and set it out. I will pluck from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it on an exalted and lofty mountain. On the high mountain of Israel I will plant it, that it may lift up boughs and yield fruit and become a majestic cedar. And birds of every kind will dwell under it, and they will dwell in the shade of its branches. And all the trees of the field will know that I am Yahweh. I bring down the exalted tree, exalt the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am Yahweh. I have spoken, and I will do it. All right. And Psalm 60. O God, you have rejected us. You have broken us. You have been angry. O restore us. You have made the land quake. You have split it open. Heal its breaches, for it shakes. You have caused your people to see hardship. You have given us wine to drink that causes reeling. You have given a banner to those who fear you, in order to flee to it from the bow. Selah. That your beloved may be rescued. Save with your right hand and answer us. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exult. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe. Make a loud shout, O Philistia, because of me. Who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you yourself, O God, not rejected us? And will you, O God, not go forth with our armies? O give us help against the adversary, for salvation by man is worthless. Through God we shall do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our adversaries. And finally, Psalm 61. Hear my cry of lamentation, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength before the enemy. Let me sojourn in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. You will add days to the king's life. His years will be from generation to generation. He will sit enthroned before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may guard him. So I will sing praise to your name forever as I pay my vows day by day. Amen. And that's our reading for today. I wanted to go ahead and make a few recommendations to you as far as podcasts I would definitely recommend that you listen to. Voice of Reason Radio, they just released a new one. It's been a while. They've been very busy, so they've been having to do some reruns, which all of them are great. But they just released one, I think it was here this last weekend. That so far what I've heard of it, I haven't finished listening to it yet, but really, really good discussion. So I would definitely recommend that. And I would definitely recommend going back through their archives and listening. Definitely worthwhile. Squirrel Chatter, Gene Cliatt. I would definitely, you know, he does Bible reading like I do. He's using a different plan. His is read the Bible in the year, and it does it in the 5 days of the week. But he also does, he's got some very interesting, which I listen to every day anyways. You know, even though I'm doing Bible reading, I listen to Gene. But I also listen, you know, he's got some prayers and stuff that he does as well. But he's also been going through, and I believe it's called the Frankfurt Declaration. And I think he started it last week. It may have been the week before, but on his Monday through Wednesday programs, he's discussing that. His Thursday program, he's discussing the 1689 Confession of Faith after his Bible reading. And his Fridays, he's just doing, it's Federalist Friday, he's discussing the Federalist Papers. All of those are great. I would listen to all of them. But it's definitely worth your while to listen to his discussion of the Frankfurt Declaration. Definitely, I did. He has very much educated me on what is in that. He's actually educated me. It's been a long time since I've even read parts of the Federalist Paper, and he's definitely helped, you know, edify me as far as my knowledge of those, which is something we need to know, we need to be aware of. And the 1689 London Baptist, Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, is definitely important for you to know. Honestly, it is a statement of my belief. It is one I definitely hold to. Definitely worth your while. Also, the Truth Be Known podcast, they've been working through the Ten Commandments. They started this a number of weeks ago. I want to say a couple of months ago, actually. But I would go back to the first one of those and walk your way. They're walking their way through the Ten Commandments and how those apply for us today, what they mean for us today. It is a great, great, great series. And I would also recommend Matter of Theology. Matter of Theology is a wonderful, wonderful, group of podcasts. I mean, they are a set of podcasts. Those guys do great. And so they do their regular podcast, but they're also doing, a Dead Guys Reader Society, which sounds really creepy, but it's not. It's in response to somebody who calls themselves a theologian nowadays, making comments that it's worthless to read the dead guys, to read books by the dead guys. And they're going through and talking about the value of reading. And in this case, they're talking about reading Puritans. And I would definitely stand with them. They've spoken of, if I remember correctly so far, they've spoken of Thomas Watson. And I want to say it was John Knox. I think it was John Knox. And I forget what this latest one is. Because I haven't listened to it yet, but I would definitely recommend that you at least listen to those, but I would listen to all that they do. Of course I listen to the WWUTT podcast, excuse me. Pastor Gabe is doing a great series in Galatians. I would definitely recommend that. And I've told you before, I also listen to Grace to You and Truth for Life and Renewing Your Mind are also wonderful podcasts. So I would definitely recommend those for your reading or for your listening. Definitely would all of them will edify you. And so that's going to be our podcast for today. I thank you for joining me this morning. I'm very, very grateful to have been up. I would pray that our reading together has edified you and will equip you. And I definitely hope that God will bless your day. And again, I will say everything you do today, do it for the glory of God. Have a good one. God bless.